Now, here in lesson 65, we are now ready to move on to argument number 6 for God's existence. So first, let's think about the 5 arguments we've already gone through. Number 1 was the origin of the universe. Number 2 was the design of the universe. Number 3 was the fine-tuning of the universe. Number 4 was irreducible complexity in biochemical systems. Number 5 was information machines that we find in biochemistry. A ton of evidence already, but we're not done yet. Argument 6 now is looking at the human soul. So let's take a look first by clicking on the screen at the premises that we have for this argument. The first premise, freedom to make moral choices cannot be explained by natural laws. Each person, premise 2, has the capacity to make conscious moral choices. Therefore, following premises 1 and 2, moral consciousness was caused by something else, and this cause is God. Again, couldn't have been caused by natural law, and yet we know we all have the ability to make moral choices, so then it follows that there had to be a cause outside of natural law and outside of people, and this is God. So let's look at what Psalm 139 says here. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David's making a plea to look inside of him at who he really is, not a physical entity, but an immaterial person, his soul. That is where his thoughts come from that lead to his behaviors. So now let's click the screen. Take a look at the second slide, where here we're going to give a little summary on your human body, and just looking at how incredibly designed it is as a machine before we move on and talk about the fact that if I were just a machine, then why do I have intelligence? So go ahead, let's click the screen. Say, every day I exercise 7 million brain cells. My heart beats over 100,000 times. My blood travels 168 million miles. I move 750 major muscles. I speak about 48,000 words. I give off 85.6 degrees Fahrenheit of heat. I lose about 7.8 pounds of waste. I sweat 1.43 pints of water. And for my body, it has 45 miles of nerves with electrical impulses that are traveling at 250 miles an hour. By age 70, my heart will have beat 2.5 billion times and pumped 48 million gallons of blood. One drop of my body's water has 5 billion red blood cells, 10,000 white blood cells, 300,000 platelets. The microorganisms that live in and on my body make up 10% of my body weight. It's pretty gross. In 1 square inch of my skin, I have 32 million bacteria living on it. I lose 600,000 skin particles an hour, equivalent to 40 pounds of skin in my lifetime. My skeleton replaces itself every 7 years. Each second, 10 million cells are dying and are being replaced in my body. And number 9, my bone marrow. My blood cell factory, red blood cells, platelets, white blood cells, are being produced 1 trillion times daily. Look at Job chapter 10. It says, did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews? You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Once again, the Bible backs up scientifically what we find when we investigate the human body. So now, with that knowledge, with the fact that I'm such a complex, ordered machine, let's look at the next slide. Because the question is, if I'm a machine, why am I intelligent? We have 2 scholars here, one an atheist and one a Christian. Let's compare them. Dr. Michael Ruse, PhD, philosophy of biology from Florida State University. Here's what he says. Why should a bunch of atoms have thinking ability? Why should I, even as I write now, be able to reflect on what I'm doing? And why should you, even as you read now, be able to ponder my points, agreeing or disagreeing, deciding to refute or deciding I'm just not worth the effort? No one, certainly not the Darwinist as such, seems to have an answer for this. The point is, there's no scientific answer. So what does Dr. J.P. Moreland, PhD philosophy from the University of California, say? How do you get conscious, living, thinking, feeling, believing creatures from matter that doesn't have that? That's the point. You can't get something from nothing. The Christian worldview begins with thought and feeling and belief and desire and choice. That is, God is conscious. God has thoughts. He has beliefs, desire, and awareness. He's alive. He acts with purpose. We start there. And because we start with the mind of God, we don't have a problem explaining the origin of our mind. Again, when we look in the Bible, Jesus himself, in this case, backs up completely what we have found in science and what we understand with the human soul. Here's what Jesus said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your feelings, with all your soul, your immaterial self, and with all your mind, your intelligence. This is lesson 65, the sixth strong argument for why there must be a God.